From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And thanks very much, Ollie Barrett. Another warm one in Greater Manchester. July 4th it is, 2019. Happy Independence Day to the US listeners of the Richie Allen Show. Always good to be with you. Thanks for choosing the programme. You can tweet me at any time between now and the end of the show. Whenever it does end, it's at Richie Allen Show. That's the Twitter handle. Do get in touch with me. I'll be delighted to hear from you. Let's do it.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
And I've had the mother of all days today, the mother and father and grandparents of all days today. But I'm here with you anyway. I'm here in body, I'm not sure I'm here in spirit. Welcome to the Richie Allen Show. Live on Fab Radio 2 here in Manchester, triggerwarning.tv, and all the other places you can hear the programme, richieallen.co.uk as well. Right then, I'm just going to get rid of the music there. The music, not music, the music. That's how you say it. If I tell you it's pronounced music, you'll just have it, and you'll like it. Crazy day today. After the live stream this morning, had quite a few meetings to do with different things, and this afternoon I recorded a programme with Eric Gizhevsky, Tradcat Knight himself, which I'd agreed to do a couple of weeks back, and I really enjoyed myself. I enjoyed speaking with Eric. That's available on his website, which is just Google Tradcat Knight. I've retweeted a link to it. If you want to hear it, I know you hear enough of me anyway. You might not want to, but he's a really good guy and very generous guy, Eric, so I enjoyed doing that. But lots of other things going on around it. So I just made it into the studio at around about 15-16 minutes to 5 o'clock today. So I've not got very much prepared for you. And that isn't the way I roll, as you well know. Normally I'm packed with stuff. I've got a few things to talk about with you, and I'm going to do that. I am going to do that. I even dug out a bit of Independence Day music for you. And knowing me, I've got it all wrong. Because I do that all the time. I dug out a bit of music. This could be... Is this the one? I got it from the Rocky soundtrack, 1976. Oh, yeah. Get in. Marvellous. Yes. Go on, Apollo Creed. Right. Is that the wrong music? I wouldn't be surprised. It's the Marines hymn, of course, Yankee Doodle, from the Rocky soundtrack. Yo, Adrian. And all of that. It's another one of my accents that doesn't sound anything remotely like the person it's supposed to sound like. So yeah, it's been one of those days. I was tempted to open the Skype. Tempted to open the Skype and also open the phone line into the programme. I could still do that. But I didn't give any notice of it, so it might fall flat on its face there. I am going to reintroduce that to the live show in the very near future. I'm a man of my word. I do take time sometimes. It takes me time to do that which I want to do, because I was promising an early morning newspaper review for about 6 months before I eventually got around to it. But that's what I do. That's how I roll. Down with the kids. That's how I roll. Hey, do you want to laugh? Do you want to laugh, dear listener? Because it is Thursday. Because it's warm. Because the weekend is nearly upon us. Do you want to laugh? We like to talk about snowflakery, don't we? Don't we, I said. Answer me. Don't we? We like to talk about snowflakery. And it goes from bad to worse. It seems that there's no limits. There is no limit, or there are no limits to which the pillars of the establishment will go to appease snowflakes and progressives. Well, a London theatre which puts on plays, because that's what theatres do, they put on plays, has begun to give warnings to its audiences if there is drinking or smoking or violence in the play, just in case the audience becomes upset.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Yes! Oh, imagine my thespian friend, Jeanne Crowley, my only celebrity friend, must be absolutely apoplectic about this. Yes, theatres are going to say to audiences, this play you're going to watch now, be careful because it has smoking, drinking, and it has maybe some violence in there as well. So according to today's Daily Mail, the Donmar Warehouse, which is a West End theatre, has been accused of ruining plays by issuing content warnings about disturbing scenes to avoid audiences becoming upset. It's giving guidance to theatre-goers about potentially distressing scenes such as sexual assault, racism and violence. It's in Covent Garden, by the way, dear listener. The theatre said the advisories are to ensure that everybody feels comfortable and that the plays are as accessible as possible. Oh, they're turning language and they're... We used to think accessible meant if one of your friends is in a wheelchair, can they get in? That's what accessible used to mean. If you got somebody who's on crutches, you got somebody who's in a wheelchair, can they get in? They can. Have you got somebody who's vertically challenged? Will they be able to sit up on that seat there and see the stage? But no. So the theatre's website says its warnings might include spoilers, with one warning about a particular play saying, a man repeatedly places his hand on a woman's leg to her discomfort. So that's part of the play. Presumably it's a play that deals with sexual harassment maybe in one of its scenes. So just in case one of the audience members is horrified by somebody acting like they are sexually harassing a woman, acting, right, not actually doing it, but acting it out, they're warning people about it in advance. Other warnings state, in this play, a man beats up another man due to his status as a migrant. So in one play, they're dealing with migration, and a man who doesn't like migrants knocks seven bells out of another man, but they're acting. But they've got to tell the snowflakes. Got to tell them. It's not good, is it? Is it good, eh? This follows hot on the heels of universities doing the same thing. Remember we laughed, you and me? Do you remember how we laughed when we heard that criminology students were given trigger warnings at universities that they might be shown photographs of fucking crime scenes on the overhead projector? And if you don't want to sit through this lecture, you don't have to. Oh my God. Yeah. The theatre says it's about being considerate to all audiences and making sure that everybody feels comfortable. And most importantly, everybody finds the theatre to be as accessible as possible. It's a day for snowflakery because Netflix has said it will curb, meaning it will reduce, smoking scenes in its own original shows, lest people be offended by the smoking. But Netflix viewers have been canvassed and they've said the move is ridiculous and it might ruin the accuracy of the film. Of course, because if Netflix is making a film about certain parts of the world in certain decades, when nearly everybody smoked, what's Netflix going to do? Tell the actors you can't smoke? Because it's offensive? because minors might see the production, they might see the film, and minors might start smoking. I mean, it is mad, isn't it? Isn't it mad? It's mad. Hello to Diverse J. How you doing, Diverse J? Patricia says, actually, that's my friend Patricia. How you doing, Patricia? Actually, they can just say, this play is so boring that everyone and anyone will totally enjoy it. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's mad. That's mad. It's mad. It's 13 minutes past the hour. Joss Stone, the singer, was deported from Iran on the last stop of her world tour. She's a British singer, Joss Stone. She's been speaking out and saying she was denied entry to Iran, the last country she was due to visit as part of her 5-year, 200 stop, wait for it, total world tour. Now, I want me money back. Total world tour. If you're going to brand your tour as a total world tour, you better be in every country, love. You better be in every single country. You better be in Palau. You better be in Mongolia. But anyway, she posted a video from Kish Island saying, we got detained in Iran and we got deported. I think the Iranian border guards were preventing crimes against humanity, me personally, because I've heard Joss Stone. Nobody should be afflicted. Nobody should have that music inflicted on them. But it's about some law about solo female performers in Iran, apparently. I don't know. I just don't know, is what I'm telling you. 15 minutes past the hour. I rushed in at 1,000 miles an hour. I've not got as much prepared as I normally would, so I'm going to take a track. When I come back from the track, I'll have more to talk about, including Tommy Robinson is back in the High Court today. That's your favourite and my favourite former English Defence League fascist thug, Tommy Robinson. So we'll talk about him in a minute, so we will. That's what we'll do. This is real music. This is Roy Orbison on The Richie Allen Show. A track called You Got It.
Every time I do your loving eyes.
Don't ask.
You got it.
Now the unmistakable voice of Roy Orbison. You Got It on The Richie Allen Show. Coming up for 19 minutes past the hour. Paul tweets Richie Harvey Weinstein got all triggered by cigarettes when he gave them up himself 13 or 14 years ago. He then insisted that any of his films depicting smoking should be preceded by a health infomercial, like an ad. Says Paul, or even the depiction of smoking would sway someone either way. I'm interested in that. I've got to believe that smoking in films, maybe it has in the past had some impact. Maybe. Like films in the 70s and 80s where it was customary for attractive young women to smoke. Maybe it had an impact on impressionable young teenage girls. Maybe. There was an epidemic at one time in Britain and in Ireland in the 80s of very young girls taking up smoking. Even pre-high school girls. Maybe it had some effect. I have no idea. I'm reluctant to go down that road because I remember the Video Nasties scaremongering of the early 1980s. I'm old enough to remember that. When very silly films like Driller Killer and others were banned, fearing that they were so violent that it would corrupt the country, you know. Ridiculous. Hayden Hewitt is the man to listen to when it comes to Video Nasty. So, yeah, I'm reluctant to blame anything on anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if the depiction of smoking in films, particularly when very popular singers, actresses, maybe actors smoked, I don't know. I've heard people say in the United States that the Marlboro Man as a character was somehow responsible for influencing their decision to take up smoking. I don't know, it's a really interesting area of research. Mind control. Very interesting. I never had any inclination to smoke. because it sickened me from the time I can remember being alive, because my mother smoked. He smoked, the man who raised me. Everybody smoked, and I found it disgusting, the smell of it. I found it noxious, nauseous, and I hated it. And even when my pals at school, when they were 12, 13, and they were experimenting with it, it made me sick, to be honest. I've never tried it. I'd refuse even to this day. If a smoker said, "Will you hold my cigarette while I tie my shoelaces?" I would tell them to F off. Wouldn't even touch it. Find it absolutely horrible. That's just me. That's just me. Do I look down on you if you smoke? Yes. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Charlotte says, "I have it under good authority that Joss Stone has sold out an arena in Kyrgyzstan." And if you believe that, I'll tell you another one. Moinga said, "Maybe the Iranians just didn't like her music." Maybe. Also, one or two of you saying, "Maybe the theatre in the West End wants free publicity." Knowing that if it decides to put trigger warnings on the content of plays, it's going to be picked up by the media, and therefore the theatre is getting in the news. Hi to Jason, who says, "Richie, if you want snowflakery, look at this." And he sent me a screen grab from BBC iPlayer. Now, Porridge, I never watched Porridge, but I understand that Porridge is a sitcom set in a prison, and I believe Ronnie Barker was in it. And if you go to watch Porridge now on the BBC iPlayer, you will get a trigger warning of sorts, because you will get a warning that says Porridge is a classic comedy reflecting the broadcast standards and attitudes of its time. And then you've got to click OK to proceed. That's pathetic. That's pathetic. When we had Alf Garnett, didn't we? In the late 60s and 70s, we had Leonard Rossiter in Rising Damp. These were funny comedies. And they were, I suppose by today's standards, they were very much politically incorrect. But that they were what they were, you know. It's pathetic to be giving these warnings to people. As if people are not clever enough to figure out. Yes, back in the 1970s, characters in sitcoms would say things that were, well, that today would be considered very risque. We can figure that out for ourselves. Without being warned about it, oh, you might be offended. Oh, these are mad times, aren't they? Aren't they? Aren't they, I said. So Tommy the Tit Robinson, Mr. Zionist himself, Mr. Zionist sponsored Tommy Robinson, is back in court. His real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon. Little thug, world class scumbag, and coward as well. Recently, Tommy ran towards a football fan who had his back turned to him and knocked him to the floor with a cowardly punch. Very recently, only 5-6 weeks ago. Vile little vermin, Tommy Robinson. Oh, I do despise him. Wouldn't ban him. Wouldn't ban him from speaking. Would not delete his Facebook pages or any of that. Wouldn't ban him. Would just eviscerate him in debate. Because beating Tommy Robinson is like taking sweets or candy from a baby. He's absolutely useless, right? So he's back in the High Court anyway. He broadcast for an hour, didn't he? Outside a trial, and he's been accused of committing contempt of court by filming these defendants who were accused of sexual exploitation. Robinson, let's call him Robinson, denies the allegations. Lawyers for the Attorney General have said that reporting restrictions had been put in place, postponing the publication of any details about the case. This is true. Reporting restrictions were in place, clearly, saying that there should be no reporting until the end of a series of linked trials involving 29 defendants. So it wasn't just about the trial that the goonish, useless Robinson was reporting on. It wasn't just about that trial. It was about a series of trials, linked trials, involving 29 men. So Robinson broadcast his footage from outside Leeds Crown Court in May last year, while the jury in the second trial of the series was considering its verdict. This was clear. All right. Outlining the prosecution case, Andrew Caldicott, QC, told the court there were inconsistencies between various accounts Robinson had given of his efforts to check about these reporting restrictions before he actually turned on the camera. That's a nice way of saying Robinson has lied about his efforts to find out whether there were or not restrictions. Anyway, so he's in court, Robinson. And it'll go on for another day tomorrow. And then the two judges sitting in the court presiding over it will decide whether Robinson should go back to prison or not. Right. I wouldn't be a fan of the notion of him returning to prison. I don't think it's appropriate. Not this time. But if he did it again, bang him up. Bang him up for punching that football fan in Portugal, was it? That's a good enough reason to arrest him and charge him anyway. He's a thug, is what he is. He's funded and supported by Zionist interests. We know what it's all about. Go to neilsandersmindcontrol.com if you want to see who's behind all these alt-right so-called personality figures. Robinson is a goon, and I don't like him. And I'm well within my rights not to like him. Marvellous. Number of you are tweeting about social justice warriors. Yes, indeed. 27 minutes past the hour. This is a rather different Richie Allen show today. Anne Widdecombe, my old friend. Never been a name dropper. But I've known Anne for years. She's been on this programme many times. Gave her maiden speech at the EU Parliament building in Strasbourg. It was rousing. It was passionate. It was inspirational. Anne is a Brexit Party MEP for the southwest of England, and she gave it to them, boy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anne Widdecombe stood up, and did she give it to them? Do you want to hear it? I could have put some Jerusalem music on in the background, but I decided that would have been too obvious. Let's just hear the raw speech from the Anne-meister, Anne Widdecombe, in Strasbourg this morning.
Thank you, President. It's a great honour to speak on behalf of the largest single party in this place. And may I say that if I needed any convincing at all, that the best thing for Britain is to leave here as soon as possible.
Yes.
It was the way that those elections were conducted yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Because if that is this place's idea of democracy, then that is a serious betrayal of every country that is represented here.
Yes.
Because it is not democratic at all. And that is just one of many reasons why Britain is right to be leaving this place, hopefully, on Halloween. And it is right because there is a pattern consistent throughout history of oppressed people turning on the oppressors.
Yes.
Slaves against their owners, the peasantry against the feudal barons, colonies, Mr. Verhofstadt, against their empires.
Yes.
And that is why Britain is leaving. And it doesn't matter which language you use, we are going and we are glad to be going. I represent the southwest of the United Kingdom.
Piano, facciamo concludere.
And I found on my
you come to a conclusion, please.
First day that this place has decided, at least this place hasn't, the powers that be have decided to actually increase the size of fishermen's meshes, thereby reducing their income by 40%.
Yep.
That's what you do here. That's why we're going.
Grazie,
news
conclude.
And long. Wir gehen, we're off.
Yes. Woohoo! Brilliant. That was our own Anne Widdecombe, regular contributor to my shows over the years. So she mentioned slavery there, didn't she? Oh, yeah. She mentioned slavery. Snowflake alert. I've got to get a jingle for that. Snowflake alert. The Labour MP, David Lammy. Mother of Jesus. Tottenham. Black MP. A person of colour. Well, he couldn't wait to come out today and criticise what she said. He said, David Lammy, it is impossible to explain how offensive and ahistorical it is for you to equate my ancestors tearing off their chains with your small-minded nationalist project. Shame on you, said David Lammy. David, we've only got one thing to say to you, pal.
What kind of fuckery are you?
Yeah. Yes! Shut up, you tart. She's absolutely right. Guy Verhofstadt, the Dutch dickhead. Sorry, I shouldn't be saying stuff like that. The European Parliament's Brexit coordinator said Nigel Farage is facing some stiff competition as chief clown of the Brexit party. That wasn't funny. By the way, when Widdecombe talks about colonies liberating themselves from their empires, is she really referring to the American Revolution of 1776? But the biggest idiot award of the day is reserved for the Green Party MEP, Alexandra Phillips, who asked, is she drunk? This is beyond embarrassing. It's this type of behaviour which makes me ashamed to be a British MEP right now. The galactically stupid Alexandra Phillips, Green Party MEP. Anne Widdecombe is right. The sham election of the EU Council President. Over the last couple of days is enough for anybody to understand what a complete and utter anti-democratic, undemocratic, fascistic organisation the European Union really is. Amen to Anne Widdecombe. 27 and a half minutes. It is to the top of the hour. Chris Morell says, Richie, I think in the first episode of Porridge, Ronnie Barker, playing the character Fletcher, advises Godber, who's played by Richard Beckinsale, Kate's father, by the way, who's a new inmate. So one inmate says to the other, an old lag says to a new lag, to say you are Muslim, because if you do, you get better food. Is that right? Chris says, I'm amazed, by the way, that you haven't ever seen it. I'm well aware of Porridge. I'm aware of it, and it was on BBC television when I was a young boy. But I didn't really get into it as a kid, and I didn't get into it as an older kid. And I'm an even bigger kid now. And it's on UK Gold, I believe, but I've never seen it. My favourite comedies of that time were things like The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin with Leonard Rossiter. Now, that was a comedy. Fawlty Towers, obviously. Obviously, of course, Fawlty Towers. And then you got into the 80s, then Only Fools and Horses, of course, yes. Wonderful stuff. Would have been my favourite comedies growing up. Thanks for the tweets. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. It's very laid back, very chilled Thursday afternoon chat, by the way. I've given you the reason for that. Patricia came back to me to say, Richie, the message that smoking helps you stay slim appeared very early in the United States with the infamous ad of the 1930s encouraging women to reach for a cigarette instead of a sweet. That's brilliant, Patricia. Yes, that's right. And doctors used to say to patients, didn't they, in pretty much in every Western country, at one stage, if you were nervous or of a nervous disposition, if you were a bit stressed, have a cigarette. That's right. The tobacco corporations and lobbies have a lot to answer for. No doubt about that. Thanks to Faisal for that tweet, by the way, about how women are targeted by the tobacco industry. So I think there might be some small link between sexy young singers. I mean, I've seen, because I read the newspapers every day, all of them, and you know I do, every bloody one of them, for this programme, effectively. So I know what's going on. I know that when I come to the female sections, I mean, the Daily Mail Online still has a female section, and there will be stories about actresses smoking. There will be pictures of them on set having a crafty cigarette, and the Daily Mail will make a news story out of that. And these pictures of young women, Jessica Chastain, Anne Hathaway, Gal Gadot, who plays Wonder Woman, apparently used to smoke as well, and they'll have these pictures. And it must have some tiny impact on young girls who want to be as glamorous as these women. I was in Buell Hill Park in Salford. I go there a lot to run. I run elsewhere too, but I run in the park in Salford. And it's surrounded by three schools. I was fairly surprised when we first moved to the area the very first morning I was on the park, I was in the park. It was a Monday morning. I was very surprised to see young girls in uniform heading towards their school, and some of them are smoking. And I was very surprised by that, because I had read many reports saying that smoking was on the decline, that young people, young men and young women particularly, were turning their backs on it. But I saw these young girls smoking cigarettes, and I was kind of having, it's difficult when you're around young children, you can't look at them too closely in case somebody sees you, thinks you're some sort of pervert. But they were smoking cigarettes from packages, not roll-up cigarettes or whatever. And I thought, Jesus, I would have thought that was, you know, a thing of the past, that they'd outgrown it. But no, it's still going on. Yeah. It's the Richie Allen Show for Thursday. It is July the 4th. Happy Independence Day to our listeners in the United States. Going to take some more music now. I've got something from Van Morrison for you. Yeah, from the album Moondance. Yeah. What year was Moondance released? 72, 71? 71, was it? This is Into the Mystic. It's beautiful. Back in a minute with more nonsense for you. All right, this is a great tune. Yeah, the mysterious, the wondrous Into the Mystic by Van Morrison on the Richie Allen Show. 20 minutes it is to the top of the hour. Not done this for ages and ages and ages. Needs must today. Just having a chill out. No guests. Didn't have any time to do anything today. It was one of those days, as I mentioned earlier on. Going to be with you till the top of the hour or thereabouts. You can tweet me between now and then. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, of course. And yeah, just tweet me. David tweets, what was with the Soviet-style Independence Day tank? Nonsense. More reminiscent of North Korea. It is said, though, that the US is like a commie fascist state now. Well, the West-East paradigm has to be polar, says David Stanford. Thanks, David. I've not seen that, to be honest, today. Not a lot of news today did I see. I grabbed a few things for you of interest as I was rushing into the studio this afternoon. Bass Ninja says, Richie, I think e-cigs, or crack pipes as I call them, are influencing the youth to smoke. Maybe not cigs, but they're smoking, looking like they're sucking. And then he says something rude. All right. All right, I hear you. I'm with you. We'll leave that one right there. Mentioned this on the newspaper review this morning, but not in any great depth or detail. According to YouGov, now YouGov is a polling company, they polled 1,000 teachers working in UK primary or secondary schools, and they believe that LGBT bullying is the most prevalent type of bullying in schools. YouGov's poll says that LGBT bullying is more common than incidents relating to racism, sexism or religion in primary schools and secondary schools. Like I said, they surveyed 1,000 teachers, okay, and the survey says the 13% of children are bullied because of their sexuality. I'm struggling with this, me. I'm a skeptic here. But anyway, 11% because of their race, 7% because of their sex, and 2% because of their religion. And incredibly, of the 1,000 teachers surveyed, 71% of them claim to have witnessed homophobic bullying in school. Now, I call bullshit on that. I call monumental bollocks on that. 71%. That is over 700 teachers out of the 1,000 claim to have witnessed homophobic bullying in school. I do not believe it. I don't believe it. It's another one of my impressions that sounds absolutely nothing like the man it is intended to sound like. Who believes that? Do you believe that? That 700 out of 1,000 said, yeah, I witnessed homophobic bullying. I don't believe it. YouGov did the poll for Amazon. Ding, 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 ding. That's the alarm bell going off. That doesn't sound like an alarm bell either, does it? Amazon commissioned YouGov to do the poll. Wait for this. The poll also claims that 59% of people back teaching LGBT relationship education in schools. while a quarter of children surveyed said that children, oh Jesus, should learn about LGBT issues. I know it makes me fall asleep, but it's very serious. Very serious. They're messing with the minds of the young. So Sky News today, our friend Kay Burley, your friend and mine, the Ginger Ninja, interviewed a young man who sounds very Irish. Sounds very Irish. But his name is Riyad Khalaf, which sounds North African, maybe. Middle Eastern, maybe. Riyad Khalaf. Yeah. He's written a book. He's gay, and he's a campaigner. And Kay Burley spoke with him today. Have a listen to what he had to say about this poll suggesting that 700 teachers out of 1,000 claim to have witnessed homophobic bullying. I'm not buying it. Here's Riyad Khalaf, gay lad, author, campaigner.
See, you know, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I actually think it's opposite.
No, it's not opposite. It's not. You're right the first time. Sticks and stones could possibly hurt your bones, but names can only affect you if you give any power to the name caller. That's how it is. What else does he say?
Because
I agree.
You can heal.
Kay agrees.
Heal from, you know, being pushed into your locker, which happened to me many times, and whacking your head on the metal. But you can't really heal from the scars of constantly being told that you're sick, you're different, you're disgusting, and you're not really part of the group.
But who told him that? You're sick, you're disgusting, and all these things. This is a very young man now, much younger than me. And I went to high school in Waterford City, and there were one or two lads that everybody thought were gay because they were very effeminate. They might not have been gay, but they got a few jokes, they got a bit of stick, but they weren't being told all the time they were sick, they were disgusting, they were subhuman. So do we believe this? Do we?
What I did to survive was I became the class clown. Not because I wanted to be, but if I could make my bullies laugh at me or with me, then at least I had distracted them for that period, that math class or that geography class. Geography class. And it often meant that I would get in a lot of trouble with teachers. I'd say that shocking thing to rile up the teacher, to get that reaction. But I was more happy to be in trouble with the teacher in detention, given lines, whatever it was, because I knew that at least that was a sort of a controlled form of punishment. The levels of anxiety, depression, attempted suicide, bad grades are so high in these young LGBT people. They're being underserved. You know, at the moment in the UK, there's no compulsory system in place to teach students of all kinds.
Well, there is now. Well, there is now. It's been introduced to the curriculum. We've covered this extensively without the consent of parents. So I don't know what he's talking about.
And what it means to be LGBT and that it's not okay to abuse them. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was in school and I was a person of colour and someone shouted across the class to me the N-word, that there would be uproar. The teacher would be angry and probably sent the kid out. Mm-hmm. Rightly so, should happen. Mm-hmm. If someone shouted across the class to me, oh, you're gay, you're a faggot. Oh, don't say that, don't say that. You can't say that.
I don't believe that homophobic bullying is a problem in UK primary and secondary schools. I don't believe it for a minute. Because whatever you might think about children and cruelty and bullying, gay people are still overwhelmingly in the majority. Still, it'll change the way things are going, right? Because of the agenda that we talk about all the time. Are still very much a minority, whether it's in a schoolroom, whether it's in a factory, on a factory floor, whether it's in an office. There aren't too many gay people in any social setting like that. They're always going to be in the minority. So the notion that 700 teachers could say out of 1,000 that we've witnessed homophobic bullying is nonsense. The reason we are hearing all the time now about homophobic bullying and about the need to address this and the need to protect these vulnerable gay men and women is because there has been a pushback by parents, not only in Birmingham, but elsewhere, parents saying you are not going to be infecting and poisoning the mind of my child by getting them to talk about and contemplate matters of sexuality, full stop. Not just about LGBT relationships. We don't want you talking to our young children about adult matters, adult issues, so effing young. They are 4 and 5. They should be thinking about climbing trees. They should be thinking about chasing one another around playgrounds, kicking footballs, playing softball, baseball, rounders. They should not be thinking about or asked to understand these issues. Because parents are pushing back against it, you'll get an avalanche now in the media of stories like this, pushing this notion that basically gay people, whether it's men, women or alleged gay children, are running in fear of their lives from bullies and thugs and bigots, when it just isn't true. There is no evidence. They offer no evidence. They offer nothing. All these schools they talk about have got CCTV cameras everywhere. They offer no evidence to suggest that a child is being accused of, not accused, but a child has been outed. That the classroom, that the playground, that the law of the playground has decided this child is gay. Therefore, we're going to surround this child and abuse him or her, call them names and reference these words, faggot, whatever we're going to do. There's no evidence. It's not happening. But there is an agenda, which has got nothing to do, really, ultimately, with homosexuality. It's crazy what's going on. This is the Richie Allen Show for Thursday, July 4th, 2019. Paul came back to say, did you see how David Lammy kicked off over Anne's slavery comments? He's very selective in his outrage and only seems to be offended if it allows him to raise his profile, says Paul. Yes. Hi to Phil Traharn as well, who might be listening to the programme right now. That's what the agenda is doing. It is encouraging people, first of all, to assign themselves to an identity group. And as a friend of mine, Andy Hunter, who's been a big supporter of the Richie Allen Show for some years, Andy's a gay man. Andy's often said to me, not lately, but he has said to me in the past, you know, there is no LGBT community. Gay people are people, full stop. And many of them don't feel they belong to any community. Like, does any group think, like, they're part of any big club or collective, meaning that they would derive their worldview from their group, from their collective, from their identity group. And he's right. But what the establishment, the elite, wants to do is create more and more and more and more identity groups, get people to rush to assign themselves to one of these identity groups, and then to get all of those identity groups to fight one another over the title of who's the biggest victim. It's a badge of honour now. We are the most oppressed. We are the most vulnerable. It's rotten. I've interviewed over the years black men, not only on this programme, but on other programmes, who say, I'm fed up of being categorised as some sort of victim. I'm no victim. I don't need to be protected by the nanny state telling me what I should read in the newspapers or what I should see on TV. I'm perfectly capable of disseminating the information myself, of processing, I should say, that information. So if I see a guy on television and I think he's being a bit racist, I can deal with that myself. I don't need to be protected from it. Don't need to have people banned. I would rather it all be out in the open, people's opinions and points of view. So that's what's happening. And it is a creeping, not so creeping anymore. It's rushing at the speed of light now. It's not creeping totalitarianism anymore now. It's rushing like the speed of light. Censorship. And the censorship is justified by, oh, we've got to protect people from hearing things and seeing things. I've been around the media now for 20 years. And if you'd said to me, back in 1999, I 21 years it is this year actually, 1998 was when I was invited to join WLRFM. if somebody had said to me then, we're going to have this paradigm now, people being shut down for saying the most benign things, somebody losing their job at the BBC for tweeting a picture of a well-dressed couple with a well-dressed chimp, sacked, despite deleting the tweet and saying, oh Jesus, yeah, I understand. You know, I wouldn't have tweeted it if I'd realised the child was mixed race, of course. If somebody said that to me in 1999, I would have said, you're crazy. It'll never reach this level, where Anne Widdecombe can't compare the fascist project, the European Union, to slavery. Of course it's enslaved the peoples of Portugal, Greece, Italy, Spain, Ireland. Of course it has. It has put those people in shackles while it has pilfered, robbed, raped their countries of everything that's valuable in those countries by getting those countries up to their necks in debt and then coming and, as I said, emptying the country of its real wealth, its real assets. It is bondage. It is slavery. And Widdecombe is absolutely entitled to use the analogy. But there is a growing phenomenon. The perennially, the eternally, the never-endingly offended brigade are taking over the world and are taking over public discourse, seeking out non-stop, looking for examples, anything that they can grab and highlight and claim to be offensive, to score brownie points in the virtue signalling Olympics. Look at me, I'm really good. I find Anne Widdecombe to be offensive, therefore I am good. Shine the light on me, I'm a good person. It's crazy, this. And there's very few people really standing up to it. Like I said about Tommy, the thug, the dreadful Robinson, vile though the little bastard is, and that's all he is, I wouldn't ban him. I'm not offended by him or what he says. I just destroy it with reasoned argument and knowledge and research. Just eviscerate him. But I'd never ban him. Right, that's about it for today. That's all you're getting today. Been a crazy day. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Friday's newspaper review show. That being said now, during that programme tomorrow, I might be disturbed because there are some builders arriving with some materials that they will be installing. And that might interrupt me briefly, but I will be back with you tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. That's the newspaper review show. And I look forward to that. So until then, look after yourselves and one another. Going to leave the programme with an old favourite of mine. This is Gary Barlow and Take That and Greatest Day. Lovely. Thanks for bearing with me today. It's not the usual Richie Allen show, but I did my best for you. I turned up, and that's better than most people can say. I turned up. All right. Join me at 9:30 tomorrow on YouTube. Until then, bye now.